Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Afternoon. You know, I'd be honest with you, pray for me because I haven't done a sermon in a year and a half since my wife got sick and passed away. When you lose your spouse, there's always the first time doing this and doing that, you know. But I pray that the Lord would be with me. And it's not me that's given the sermon, speaking through me. It's God and the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe that. And you know what? I love you people already, and I only joined this church a little while ago. But you are family. And you've touched my life already, and I appreciate that. Let me have a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, Father, we open up our hearts and our minds to you today. You are the great and almighty God. You are the God that we are waiting for to return and to take us home. And Father, I am just a human being here upon earth. I have no special qualities. But yet, Lord, I pray that as this sermon is delivered today, that it's not my words, Lord, but they're your words. Lord, I pray that you will forgive us, all of us, for our sins, and that we would recommit our life to you. And as we live each and every day, that the Holy Spirit would be able to touch our lives, and that we would continue to grow in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for the music. That's one of my favorite. You know who wrote that song? Bill Gaither. Yeah. Bill Gaither Trio. I have to say one thing, too. There's some people who passed away in this church and I miss. Every time I see my loving Arthur, I not only think of her apple pies, but I think of her, I think of Reed. I really do miss Reed. And I pray that the Lord would come soon, and you people have probably lost loved ones somewhere along the line. And there's going to be a family reunion, and I want each of us to be a part of that. Now, I have an unusual request to ask you this morning. I don't know if anybody's ever done this or not, but I want you to hold up your hands and look at your hands. Okay? All right. Now I want you to look at the back of your hands, look at your palm, and look at your fingers, okay? You say, why am I asking them to do that? But you know, when you look at your hands, some hands are very soft, right? And some hands are calluses on the hands from doing rough work. But most likely, I want you to look back. Well, we can look right over here, a little baby. Right now, can you picture in your mind this little baby holding mama's finger, grasping that little finger, and that little baby feeling secure? Got a hold of mommy's finger or daddy's finger. And then, as that baby starts to grow, what are they, about a year old, then they start getting up off the floor and hanging on to something, and then they start walking a little bit. And they hang on. They use their fingers to hang on. Then what comes next? Once they do that, they're walking along, they're holding on from chair to chair until they get used to walking. All of a sudden, they grow up and they're on their own. Then you really got to keep an eye on them, make sure they're not getting in trouble. But they feel very secure. Then the baby, along the line someplace, goes to the doctor and they give them a little shot, you know. And the first time, the baby feels the pain. Not too far along, you see that their hand or fingers are giving mama or daddy an affectionate hug. Or Maybe you have a little puppy, and they pet the puppy with their hands. Then they grow up a little bit older, and then the fingers can become a weapon. You know? They learn to use their hands, their fingers, for survival. It's a tool of emotional expression. A lot of people, have you ever noticed a lot of people, they got to use their hands all the time they're talking? They got to keep that engine going, you know? But those same hands, those same fingers can help someone, or they can do just the opposite. They can lift somebody up, or they can shove somebody down. Emlyn, they made a film, a documentary of your hands. What would they show? Would you be proud of certain moments? Maybe extending your hand with a gift to someone, or placing some food, or putting some food out for the cat, or in my case, putting out some bird seed for the birds. And maybe Dad, wishful thinking, preparing a meal for the family. And probably one of the best uses I've ever had of using my hands, my fingers, is in family prayer, in worship time. And then there's the scenes that we wish were not there. Shots of accusing fingers pointing out to somebody that did something without having any mercy. You ever see anybody abusive fists hold their hands up like that and they're really angry? They're upset? Hands are often grabbing more than they are giving, demanding instead of a loving hand, wounding rather than loving. Leave them unmanaged and they become weapons, clawing for power, strangling for survival. But when we handle, turn our hands over to the Lord, they can be graceful hands and fingers. Not just tools in the hand of God, but God working through these fingers. And that's what Jesus did. You know, our Savior completely surrendered his hands to God. Jesus died upon the cross. And think that he had his hands out like that and they drove those spikes through his hand. I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant feeling. You know, you ever go to a band concert, or a baseball game, or some place where there's a group of people, and boy, you'd like to be there in that crowd with those people. You want to get to meet them after the show or the ball game or whatever. And so you go up afterwards, there may be time where they're standing around, you know, and you go up and you shake their hands. I can remember my father-in-law many years ago, and I don't know if you remember or not, when Governor George Romney was the governor of the state. You're shaking your head, you know. You're showing your age, that's good. Anyways, he shook his hand. I don't know what event it was, whatever. But you know what? I heard him say, well, I got to shake governor's hand, you know. And you may have done that to somebody you thought was very important. But this morning, though, let's examine some of those experiences that the touch of the Master. If you have your Bible, you want to turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 12 through 16. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and on couches if they couldn't stand up. That at least, what? The shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. And also a multitude gathered around the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing their sick people to those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were healed. People saw in Peter at that time in his life, they saw healing power. The healings that he did in the name of Jesus. Later in Acts 19, verse 11 and 12, when Paul was in Ephesus, and God did extraordinary miracles through him, so that, as somebody said in our Sabbath school class this morning, even the handkerchiefs or a piece of clothing that had touched him were taken to their sick, and the illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. And this phenomenon was true of Peter and Paul. How much more of Jesus, the Son of God? Well, on earth, he made himself available to everyone. It didn't matter what color, what age, or anything, but he was available to them. And if Christ, he went from town to town, house to house, you know, mountain to mountaintop or lake to lake, whatever. He ate with tax collectors, ate with sinners. Jesus easily talks to people from every social class, whether they're Jew or Gentiles or Greek or whatever. Whoever comes to him, he never turns away. Have you ever experienced that in your life? As you came to Christ and asked for help or something and he turned you away? He won't do that. The people often crowded around him, and many took the initiative to have Jesus come and touch him. And then in Matthew 14, 35 and 36, just after Jesus had walked on the water, people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let him touch the edge of his garment. And all who touched that edge of that garment, or any place on the garment, were healed. Luke 18. If you want to go there, Luke 18, 15 through 17. It's the example of Jesus blessing the children. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Can you imagine those children coming to Jesus? Maybe Jesus picking them up with his hands, his arms, and holding them. What comfort that they receive by his touch. Seems like Luke himself, a doctor, knew what special effects of touch, how it enhanced the healing. The power of a touch of a doctor or a therapist, even today, enhances the healing. It's regrettable today that we live in a society where no one dares touch another person for fear of sexual harassment. A touch that can easily be misinterpreted. Touch, of course, must always be appropriate. But in the arm or on the shoulder, a gentle embrace or a hug. Where is Alicia? Maybe she's not here. I was sitting back here in the pew this morning for Sabbath school class, and Alicia bent over and gave me a hug. I thought that was wonderful. You know? Oh, there you are, back there. Don't mean to put you on the spot. But you know what? That's wonderful to give somebody a hug. You know why? I feel like that person cares about me. And if I get a hug, give a hug to somebody else, appropriate hug, I feel that they're important. They are. It's often done at weddings. It's often done at funerals. And on other occasions, a great joy or sadness. Babies need to be touched and cuddled. On occasion, even including the teen years, especially. Our young children need to be touched. Why? Because it conveys the message louder than words. We care about you, and we love you. Adults also need to be touched. We need to do more of it, more at the appropriate time and the place. In times of difficulty, in times of depression, a handshake, or better yet, a hand on the arm or the shoulder, even a hug with the words, "Hang in there, I'm praying for you." I have the opportunity, and Aiden and I, of working at the Tony and Trish Hospice House. And there are many hugs that are given there. And touch somebody on the shoulder that the family is there and maybe the kids and whatever and somebody's dying. It's a place where you got to have the compassion of Christ in your life to be able to go there and volunteer. But I've had the joy, and Aiden has, the pleasure of comforting people by the touch. I'll put a plug in for them. That's why I'm hesitating. They are always in need of volunteers. That hospital house has very few staff that are getting paid. I would say 80% of the people who work there are all volunteers that come there and volunteer. So if you have any spare time, go there and volunteer. And you'll find out that that's another family over here. And that maybe God has given you the gift that you can reach out and touch somebody there and give them support while their spouse or, you know, wife or husband are dying. But I find it very much of a blessing to be there and be able to do that. A certain telephone company has a line, reach out and touch someone. The phone call to someone who is struggling. To call them and give them comfort. Are we guilty of not calling the sick people and the missing church members? And sometimes, you know, people slip out the back door of the church. But you can touch them. You can reach out, give them a phone call, or better yet, a visit, and let them know that they're missed. They're still part of the family. You know when the lost sheep, the 99 sheep that the Lord left there, and the one sheep that went out, and I think after a while, the sheep was happy at first, but after a while got lost and didn't know where it was and didn't know how to get back. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went out, found that lost sheep, and what did he do? With his hands, he picked that sheep up and held it in his arms and took it back. That's the kind of Savior that we have. You know, after a person passes away, it's too late. You can't turn the clock back. If there's somebody in your family or some neighbor or something you have a disagreement with or something, reach out to them with a touch of mercy. And you'll find out that the Lord will work powers. But the healing touch of a soft voice can be as healing as the touch of Jesus. We should not be afraid to reach out and touch someone. People in the crowds reached out to touch Jesus, and he touched them with power, the power of God. He went out to heal and to restore. And one of probably the most moving stories in the scripture of such healing power was of the woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 long years some sort of bleeding. And I think she spent probably all of her money going from doctor to doctor, whoever, trying to be healed. She was considered to be an outcast of society, ceremonially unclean. According to Leviticus chapter 15, when a woman had a discharge of blood, she would be unclean as long as she had that discharge. Ministry of Healing, page 277, not only in their religious service, but in all the affairs of daily life, was observed the distinction between clean and unclean. All who came in contact with contagious or contaminating diseases were isolated from the encampment, and they were not permitted to return without thorough cleansing of both the person and the clothing. We can understand why she had no intention of meeting Jesus face to face. According to Matthew's account, she thought, if I can just get over there and reach out with my hand, and if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Surely enough, she made her way through the crowd, and she came up behind the master, and she did that. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, she felt that the bleeding had stopped. Quickly, she tried to slip away. And imagine her surprise when he turned around. Who touched me? Who touched me? And Peter thought it'd be a very strange question. Who touched me? When they were in a crowd of people and they were all brushing against one another. But he insisted that. He says, the power has went out from me. Then the woman knew she had no choice but to come before Jesus. She came trembling, thinking, well, would he be angry? Would he scold her? Maybe treat her harshly and reject her? After all, she had been unclean all of these years, and she was a woman. But she managed to tell him the whole story of her miserable life, her feeling of despair, her burden of being an outcast. She took a huge risk and told him in the presence of all the people in the crowd. She told him how the bleeding had stopped instantly. She'd been healed. And her story came out. It was mixed with tears of sadness and joy. See the tender compassion of what Christ has. Perhaps he might have placed his hand on her shoulder. Then, you know, he called her daughter, the only woman addressed by him in the whole Bible. He called her daughter. He says, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Surely she remembered those words for the rest of her life. Her life turned around, all because she had faith in the touch of Jesus. Now I'd like to also look at the example of the unnamed leper in Matthew 8, beginning with verse 1 through 4. Matthew 8. When he had come down from the mount, and great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was gone. He was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. I wondered out loud about the man who felt Jesus' compassionate touch. He makes one appearance, has one request, and receives one touch. But that one touch changed his life too, forever. Maybe his story went something like this. For 5 years, no one touched me, not one person. Not my wife, not my child, not my friends, no one. They saw me, they spoke to me from a distance. I sensed love in their voices and concern in their eyes, but I didn't feel their touch. He may have been thinking, I coveted a handshake, a tap on the shoulder to get my attention. Such moments were taken from my world. No one bumped into me. Not being able to be in a crowd of people and able to brush against them one another, I wasn't allowed on the streets. Even the rabbis kept their distance from me. Not permitted to go into the synagogue or even to go into my own house. I wondered about this man because leprosy was the most dreaded disease. The condition would render the body a mass of ulcers and decay. Blotches of skin would discolor and begin to stink, leading to loss of fingers or toes. The social consequences were as severe as the physical. Considered contagious, he was banished to a leper colony. In Scripture, the leper is symbolic of the ultimate outcast, infected by a condition that he did not seek, rejected by all those that he knew, avoided people and condemned to a future he could not bear. Jesus healed people of many different diseases and sickness in many different situations. His healing is something attributed to his words and often at time to his touch. Here are some more examples of his healing. Remember Peter's mother-in-law, Capernaum? When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose up and began to serve him. In Luke chapter 8, verse 49 on, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered and saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, John, and James, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept, all mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside then, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she rose up immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Can you imagine how astonished the parents were? But he charged them also to tell no one what had happened. Two blind men in Capernaum, Matthew 9:29-30. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, it be done to you." And their eyes were open just from the touch. Power came out of him and healed them. All people need to be touched by Jesus. Universally, mankind is totally depraved and by nature is plagued and devastated because of the infirmity of sin. All lost sinners are spiritual lepers and are infected with an incurable disease of sin. All men are by nature born spiritually blind in death to spiritual truth and to their need of salvation. All men are subject to the dreadful consequences of sin, which is the second death in the lake of fire. Yes, all people, whether children or adults, need to be touched by Jesus. We may represent that lost sheep that was lost, but I always keep that story in my mind because I know if I would get lukewarm or slip away or something, that there's a Savior out there looking for me and going to bring me back. The only hope that any lost sinner has is for Jesus to touch them. And when Jesus touches that lost sinner's soul, they are completely healed of all their spiritual infirmities, and they will be spiritually raised from the dead and given eternal life in Christ Jesus. How are people touched today? As we have seen, everyone who touched Jesus was healed completely. The touch of Jesus never fails to give us life and health where it was needed. And we also see from Scripture there was no disease or infirmity that was too difficult for Jesus. You know, many times we pray for the sick. And over a year, my wife and I read through the Bible at our prayer window. And we prayed every day, Lord, heal her. Heal her. And sometimes the touch of God doesn't do it. But by faith, after that year, God touched our hearts. And we prayed that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And all I can tell you, maybe some of you know that already, but we were in that Tony and Trish hospital house, Marlene Witness. I mean, she's supposed to be dying, and she's out there in the living room sitting on her couch. She got her little iPad there, you know, and she shows them where It Is Written is, or Voice of Prophecy or something. Our family, I'm not trying to brag myself up or our family, but you know that our family left such an impact on all those workers there, that they told us that never in all the time they've been operating have they ever seen a Christian family that not only said they were Christians, but what? Lived the faith. Lived it. And that's why I volunteer there today. It's because I prayed that I would receive what my wife had and be filled with the Spirit, not only there, but in my neighborhood or wherever I go. I want that touch of God to work through me, that I can reach out to others. In salvation, people are touched by Jesus through His Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel of the Holy Spirit, communicates God's grace, through faith in the finishing work of Jesus, who died on Calvary for me. The call of the Holy Spirit is to repent of your sinful deeds, your unbelief, and believe with all your heart that Jesus, died on the cross for you. He suffered that death upon the cross, willing to give His life so that each one of us could be secure in the arms of Jesus, and that we have the future of seeing Him one day. Has Jesus touched you by His Holy Spirit or through the gospel? Have you felt and known His sweet presence and power in your life? Has your soul sensed the virtue that flowed from Jesus into your soul when you symbolically touched the hem of His garment? Have you touched the Spirit of Jesus by faith? But Jesus will reach out and touch us and heal us of all of our wounds and make us new people to be able to live in obedience and power. Do you go to your prayer closet? Do you reach out there and touch Jesus with your prayer requests? He touches us with our power so real you can't explain it sometimes. It's only through thinking of His touch. Knowing, you know, everybody is different. Everybody is on a different level of spiritual growth. It says in the Bible to grow spiritually day by day. Everybody continues to grow as they first come into the church. You may be in the church for 50 years like me, you know. But we are to grow. And the people or the person that helps us grow is Christ. Jesus doesn't want anyone who has touched Him and whom He has touched with healing power to slip away unnoticed. He wants us to live with Him. Therefore, my appeal, come out of hiding. Come to Jesus. He wants to live within you. I think it's Psalms 51:10. O Lord, create within me a new heart and steadfast spirit. That's what I need. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's what? To forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you healed today, or do you need healing? You know, sometimes people say, well, I can't go to that church. I've sinned too much. I'm too greatly of a sinner. But let me ask you, what is the church? Is it a hospital for sinners? For it says in the Bible, for all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. But thankful through Jesus Christ, we can be cleansed. I encourage you to reach out and touch Jesus. Come to Him if you haven't. And know of His healing power in your life. I appreciated that song this morning, and because it's one of my favorites, that He reached out and touched me. And today I can feel that touch. And I pray, Lord, that everybody here today would be touched by You, and that when they leave this sanctuary today, they can say, I have been with Jesus. I feel His touch. And I want to share that with others. That's my prayer.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.